here and you just spoke with our minister, Eduardo Cabrita.
Yes.
What have you discussed?
So we discussed the partnership and how we can best strengthen and advance it in the months and years to come. We enjoy a tremendous amount of cooperation already in a number of different areas. We talked about exchanging best practices, training one another. We have shared interests and therefore shared opportunities.
And what are these same interests and same opportunities that can both countries can work together? Or are we already working at this moment in something?
So we are already working together. We work closely in the cooperation in the security arena. We looked at, for example, the port and the port security and our work there. But we have shared challenges. Cybersecurity is an increasing challenge, not only between our two countries, but quite frankly, for the entire world. And partnership is absolutely critical in advancing our cybersecurity, a challenge that knows no boundaries. So we talked about that. We talked about best practices and shared interests in addressing migration as both a challenge from a security perspective, but very, very importantly, in advancing our values and who we are as nations and partners.
And you already spoke about cybersecurity, which is one of the topics that I wanted to ask you
yes,
about.
Please.
In the pandemic, we saw an uprising on cybercrime, and even in the US recently, we saw a cyber attack that was impactful on the country. Do you consider that the countries are not ready to deal with the challenges that the new cybersecurity questions may create for them?
So we've been very focused on cybersecurity. I think you referenced the Colonial Pipeline incident that really raised the general public's awareness of the threat of cyber attacks well before the Colonial Pipeline attack in February. My first public speech in the cybersecurity area was, in fact, on ransomware. In addition, we started what we call a 60-day sprint, you know, very intense focus. Our first one was indeed on ransomware. I think what it is the importance of raising everyone's awareness of the fact that the threat is upon us. It is not a threat for tomorrow. It is a threat that is upon us, and everyone needs to increase their cyber hygiene and strengthen their cybersecurity, whether it's in the home and changing passwords and using what we call multi-factor authentication. It's the small business. No business is too small to be attacked, or the big operations that can impact an entire region of a country because of its criticality to our infrastructure.
But I have two follow-up questions because you're speaking a lot about cybersecurity and it's not the only thing that you have to deal with. But at the same time, do you consider that this is the biggest online threat that the US is facing right now?
So I would consider it one of the most urgent security priorities. We are also from a terrorism-related perspective, we are looking at domestic terrorism. That threat has evolved, but certainly the cyber attacks are one of the greatest threats we face on the homeland.
And after this conversation that we had with Minister Eduardo Cabrita, do you consider that Portugal, being an ally and US ally, is prepared for this threat?
I can't speak to the domestic preparedness. I can speak to the fact that the minister communicated Portugal's focus on this cyber threat. And we both spoke about how we can advance our partnership. You know, in cybersecurity, we say that one is only as strong as our weakest link. This is a threat that knows no boundaries. And so partnership becomes that much more important.
And should we face this threat from other foreign countries? And if yes, can you name them?
Well, I think we have spoken certainly in the United States about the threat that Russia presents, the threat that China presents, the threat that Iran presents. There are nation state actors. There are cyber criminals, and those cyber criminals can be organizational or individual. This is what makes a challenge so significant.
And I have to use this strategy just to have this the question, because at the same time, you're already doing a lot to preventing what happened with the pipeline, the oil and gas pipeline companies.
Yes.
And you have announced initiatives that your department is doing for that.
And, and all of government is doing, which is very important. Our strategy speaks not just of the Department of Homeland Security, but an all of government approach to the challenge, given its significance. And this is equally important, not just an all of government, but a public-private partnership, because it's not something that the government can do alone. It's the sharing of information, the sharing of lessons learned, the strengthening, the ability to be prepared, resilient, and respond to events.
And consider this relationship between the U.S. and I'm not speaking still about the EU. I know you were here also because of the EU, but consider this matter. Recently, the Portuguese National Data Protection Agency said that our Portuguese National Statistic Institute should seize a contract with an American company called Flare, because laws in your country, as the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act or prize on the program, because they say that that can compromise the data from foreign countries. And this was a big debate here in Portugal. What do you think about these allegations from the Portugal National Portuguese Agency?
So we're very concerned about the decision, and we share an interest in data protection. This is a shared interest and a shared value. We understand the importance of protecting data. At the same time, the sharing of data really strengthens advances our economic interests, our shared economic interests. And so while we express concerns with respect to that decision, we're looking about how we can advance data protection and the sharing of data for the reasons I have expressed.
Was there any development regarding that? Were there any conversation in these meetings that you were having here?
We have spoken throughout the day. I've had the benefit of speaking with our European Union partners, and we're of course very focused on strengthening and advancing that partnership, as well as with our Portuguese partners about those interests. Protecting data and sharing data to advance our interests.
So if by one hand you were surprised with that decision, now that you're here, you're more
whether
not
it's
concerned.
So if I may, I would say concerned with that decision.
Okay. But now with these talks, you're not that concerned anymore.
Well, we're moving forward, and we're seeing how we can build and advance.
Going to and speaking about regarding another topic, you are currently handling an immigration situation. I'm not saying a crisis, because I know you said it's not a crisis, that your country has been facing for the last years. The EU is also handling one. They are not exactly the same, I know, but the basis is the same. People that are not nationals are trying to enter the territory, and that, in the eyes of the law, it's an illegal thing to do. What can the EU and the US do to mitigate these humanitarian situations?
So let me say something which is very, very important. And if I may just back up a little bit. When the term was used in March, it focused on the unaccompanied children that we were encountering at the border, and the fact that our stations, our border patrol stations, were overcrowded with children. And what I said then was that we've dealt with this challenge before, we know how to deal with it, we have a plan, and we're executing on our plan. And in fact, but several months later, those border patrol stations are no longer overcrowded with unaccompanied children, and we have delivered relief for them. There are individuals who come into the country, not at the ports, but in between the ports. But many of them claim humanitarian relief. they claim a fear of persecution by reason of their membership in a particular social group. And our laws provide for humanitarian relief, and so we enforce our law and evaluate their claims.
What can the EU...
And that's a source of tremendous pride for our country as a place of refuge. We're extraordinarily proud of that history, and we are rebuilding that history so it defines us once again.
Because you were inherited a big task with this from the other administration, and now the EU is also facing the same thing. There is some kind of cooperation between the US and the EU regarding Israel. What do you think can be done on an international level regarding this?
I think that there are nearly 80 million refugees and internally displaced people around the world. And so it is a responsibility to address the needs of those individuals. And one nation cannot do it alone. We all need to do it together. And so I think that is a global responsibility.
Since I think we still have time, I have time for two more questions, so I'm going to choose them very carefully. Regarding the cybersecurity that we were speaking about, you spoke about Russia, China. Specifically from China, the Biden administration continues worried with Chinese technology, as we have seen, and specifically 5G implementation. Do Chinese companies seriously pose a threat to the U.S. national security? Should Portugal be concerned in this specific topic that can affect homeland security both countries?
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I think this is a reality that our two countries need to address together, and not just the two of us, but I think this is many allies. Need to focus on this and the opportunities that 5G presents and the vulnerabilities that it presents, and address both collaboratively.
And coming to the last question, as in the past, if Portugal decides not to do exactly what the US is proposing, if Portugal does not accept everything that the US is proposing, as it has done in the past, do you think that American companies are going to stop to invest here in Portugal?
Let me, if I can, take that question and make a point. We have shared interests. We have common interests. We have shared challenges. We have common challenges. It's a strong relationship. It's an alliance that has existed for so many years. If we don't agree on everything, that doesn't mean we can't accomplish a lot together. That's what I'm here to communicate. America is rejoining in a very significant and stronger way the international community. We're incredibly proud to be a part of it, and I am very excited about my visit here.
I think it's a great last answer, and really thank you for this opportunity, Mr.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure to meet you.
A pleasure.